You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
Welcome back to The Wire. On Thursday last week, the coalition government passed legislation to reverse the ban on oil and gas exploration, a ban which had been initiated by the previous government in 2018. Minister Shane Jones, who drove the reversal, highlighted the impact of the ban on economic growth and energy supply in New Zealand. Opposition parties have voiced concerns about the impact of this decision for New Zealand's climate commitments. As well, yesterday, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and Education Minister Erica Stanford announced an overhaul of the NCEA system to be replaced with qualifications that they say will be better to understand and more aligned with international standards. Finally, as the United States places 15% tariffs on New Zealand exports, the Labour Party have said the government needs to do more to strengthen our trade relationships to avoid a rise in the cost of living for Kiwis. I spoke with National MP Carl Bates about all of these topics. I started by asking him to explain the government's decision to reverse the ban of oil and gas exploration in New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the ban that they made was completely nonsensical because the oil and gas ban simply has exacerbated shortages in our domestic gas supply. What it literally did was stopped new investment in exploration and development that we need to meet our future gas requirements as a country. And while we have a strong focus on renewable energy, you have to create a bridge between our current state and our future state in terms of renewable energy, and simply saying we're going to stop exploration is not the way to achieve that.
How would you justify this legislation in light of the International Energy Agency stating that there are enough projects already in existence or planned to meet global energy demand forecasts to 2050?
So that may be the case globally. I haven't seen that piece of research particularly. I think what we're seeing here in New Zealand is that there's a requirement to ensure we don't have businesses close as a result of lack of energy. And we're importing hundreds of tonnes of Indonesian coal to meet our peak energy demand, which doesn't meet climate goals and makes New Zealanders worse off. So it's really important that we create a bridge, as I say, between our current use of energy and our future use of energy in New Zealand in a New Zealand context.
Are you concerned that the reversal will not invite the kind of investment in energy projects that this government is hoping for, given opposition promises to reban new exploration if elected?
Well, I'm fairly confident that we will be the government for some time as New Zealanders see the results of the work that we're doing to improve the economy, to get New Zealand back on track, and we'll have an opportunity to ensure that these policies have some longevity. I would just question anyone who takes the opposition's no attitude to everything this government does as a practical way forward for New Zealand.
What do you understand to be the National Party's role in terms of leading New Zealand's actions and governmental response to climate change?
So I think we have a very important role as a government in ensuring that we create a plan and have a plan and implement that plan to lead New Zealand's climate future. We have Minister Watts driving that, and I think he's doing a fantastic job in ensuring we have that balance of economic opportunity to make sure that we can pay for the things we need to here in New Zealand, like health and education and all of those important things, at the same time as mapping a pathway to or for changing makeup of, for example, New Zealand's energy requirements. And an example down the road for me, both onshore and offshore wind farms in the Whanganui electorate that are requiring legislative change, regulation frameworks in place that weren't delivered by the last government, and this government is delivering to ensure that those sorts of projects have a way of being consented and regulated and enabled to come on board and support our, for example, energy grid. You know, fast track as a piece of legislation is really important to renewable energy consenting in New Zealand.
Next up, I wanted to talk to you about the NCEA changes or announcement that was made yesterday.
Yep.
It will have some pretty big effects for education, the delivery of education in New Zealand.
Really good effects for the delivery of education in New Zealand and ultimately really good outcomes for students. And that's what our education system's here for, right? Making sure that our students learn what they need to learn while they're at primary and secondary, and then ultimately tertiary education. So really good outcomes will come from that, I'm sure.
What kind of input was considered in relation to these changes from teachers, students and academic experts?
So there's two parts to that answer. One is that there was a professional group that supported the process, and you can see in the proposal document the chair of the sector group talking about the process that they went through. And then, of course, we're currently open for feedback from the public to feed into that consultation process and the final decisions.
Especially with regard to the way this overhaul will remove much of the flexibility of NCEA, what measures are in place to ensure that these changes won't hinder students who are more prone to struggling in the education system from succeeding?
So the flexibility that is looking to be removed will ensure that each subject as a pathway towards a national qualification, that both students and employers and tertiary organisations clearly understand and know that achievement has occurred, and that the learning builds on each other. So one of the challenges with NCEA is that a student can get credit from a range of different things that actually, when brought together, don't represent a deep learning in any particular area. So part of the removal of the flexibility is to ensure that there is deep learning in particular subjects, and then also to ensure that those foundational subjects, English, math, are well understood, and that there is a level of achievement by students as part of their learning journey.
Finally, I wanted to talk about the impact of Trump putting out higher tariffs on all different countries. My first question will just be, how satisfied is this current government with New Zealand's trade relationship with the US, particularly in light of recent tariff increases?
So the recent tariff increases, obviously disappointing for New Zealand exporters. It was based on a blunt formula that was applied across countries running a trade surplus with the US. And that is why New Zealand got the increase in tariff that we did last week. Over the last decade, our trade relationship with the US has seen periods where the US has enjoyed a significant surplus in times like now where New Zealand has a modest one. I think in terms of our relationship with the United States, Minister McClay has already had a call, as you may have seen, with the United States Trade Representative Jamison Greer on Saturday morning, and will be travelling to the US in the coming weeks to further engage on our trade relationship with the US.
What is your response to the Labor Party's assertion that export tariffs are a failure of the government to effectively negotiate with the US to the detriment of New Zealand's cost of living?
Well, as the US has made clear, it was a blunt formula applied to countries running a trade surplus with the US, and that is what we currently have with the US and why, therefore, we received the tariff that New Zealand did.
That was National Party MP Carl Bates on the oil and gas exploration ban reversal, the NCEA system overhaul, and the NZ-US trade relationship.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.